You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Wake Up, the Day is at Hand. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
In June of 1986, a Transworld airline jet with 145 passengers and 8 crew members was hijacked in Beirut, Lebanon. As soon as we were hijacked, the pilot said, I remember the strong feeling which came over me. It was sharp and well-defined. I began to realize that in all probability, within the next 5 minutes, we would all be dead. But no sooner had I thought about the possibility of all of us being killed, he said, than right behind it came a second thought. Well, if that happens, then we would be standing face to face with Jesus, and that wouldn't be all that bad. The captain of this TWA jetliner was certainly speaking what the Bible so clearly teaches. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes the judgment. When we leave this life through death, and when we are reawakened by the Lord, according to the Bible, we will then be immediately in the presence of God and face to face with Jesus Christ, our judge. This is also what Christ himself taught. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, Jesus said, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. We may not like to hear what the TWA pilot said, that when we die we will meet Jesus face to face, but this is what the Bible states clearly and repeatedly. In his letter to the Thessalonian Christians, St. Paul confirms this biblical teaching when he writes, The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, of being forever away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Christians and all followers of Christ need never fear meeting Jesus, their judge, because believers in Jesus have all their faults and mistakes and shortcomings and transgressions of God's law covered by the sin-cleansing blood of the crucified and resurrected Christ. Therefore, with the TWA pilot, believers can say, meeting Jesus face to face will not be all that bad. In fact, it will be a glorious moment, a time for endless rejoicing. However, for all those who have not prepared to meet Jesus Christ as their judge, meeting Jesus face to face will be a terrible and a frightening experience. And this is also why St. Paul reminds all of us today when he writes in Romans chapter 13 that it is already the hour for you to wake up. The day is at hand, the Bible says, lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Instead, St. Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. By doing this, by confessing your sins and failures to God, and by clinging by faith to Jesus, you will be prepared to meet your Maker face to face, and the Spirit of God will enable you to do it with anticipation and with great joy. Responding to this wake-up call from God in 1997 is surely not the in thing to do nowadays. We might talk about God to our neighbors, and we may even speak the name of Jesus to at least some of our friends. However, all too often, even though we claim to be Christians, when it comes right down to actually preparing for his coming, this is quite another matter. If you were to say today to your friends that you are actually preparing to meet Jesus, some people may think you are a bit kooky, but don't let this bother you. Remember Noah? He got ready for the flood by building the ark. And in those days, there were surely many people who must have laughed and scoffed at all of his preparation until, of course, the flood came. Then those who did not listen to God's call to wake up and to prepare, they were destroyed forever. But isn't this how it is today also? Many speak about God and Jesus and faith. Very few, however, are preparing to meet Him. And why is this? Primarily because we think first of ourselves. Everybody and everything else is secondary. For example, in 1940, only 11% of the women and only 20% of the men of our population said, "I am important." Today, these percentages have skyrocketed. Now, over 60% of all men and women see themselves and what they want as the most important concern in their life. In our present society, we constantly hear me, I, my, and myself. That's all that really matters. In her book, The Master Trend, Cheryl Russell documents how the younger generation has become increasingly self-centered. As a result of this crass individualism and self-centeredness, this writer states that many marriages are now in turmoil and under great stress. Divorce often results, which then leads, of course, to broken homes, and broken homes result in children with increased problems, and so on and so forth. We all know the story. One thing leads to another, but in all this disruption and confusion, it is self-centeredness and meism which is the first step in an ongoing tragedy in many families and marriages. Now, of course, we could go on and on with the statistics and what is happening in our society, but this is not what we want to focus on at the moment. The concern of the moment is the tragic end result of all of this, unbridled individualism. Indeed, the bottom line, the end result of sustained self-centeredness is guilt. Guilt. Big-time guilt. Many today feel they are as free as a bird, doing their own thing. But the truth is, as a result of doing their own thing, thousands upon thousands of people are burdened down with guilt like a struggling and overloaded beast of burden. Now, of course, you and I may want to say that we can easily push aside all memories and burdens of the past, of marriage problems and home breakups, or one of the many other sins we have been involved in. But if we think that the burden of guilt is all that easy to dismiss in God's eyes, then we better reconsider. You see, the Bible tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we are only deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, the Bible says, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. But the good news for you and me today is this. If you confess your sins, God is faithful, He will forgive you your sins, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even the secular world realizes that past sins and failures don't simply disappear by wishing them away. Not long ago, a top Hollywood star was interviewed on a television talk show. This celebrity made a striking confession before millions of viewers. He said that no matter how hard a person tries to forget a failed marriage, the bitter memory of the broken past never disappears completely. There always lurks in the back of one's mind a guilty voice crying out, silently but persistently, "You have failed. You have failed. You have failed." Of course, guilt occurs not only in the area of marriage problems, home breakups and divorce, but this lurking voice of guilt calls out silently but persistently to all of our failings in life. And maybe it is in finance, or maybe we experience guilt pangs when we examine our relationship to other family members, or maybe it involves estate settlement, or maybe we feel guilt pangs when we look at how we have raised our children, or when we look at how we have treated our aging parents, or when we think of how far short we have come from what God expects us to do. Perhaps you have not prayed as you should. Perhaps you have not had daily devotions or read the Bible regularly. Now, when we think of all these things that we should have done, we feel miserable. And then, to correct things, we often try to do what the world suggests. Shove it behind ourselves, forget it all, and keep on moving. For this reason, the wake-up call in the Bible is so important. This call for you and me to wake up means to stop living by the standards of the world and to stop trying to simply sweep things under the rug, but rather to begin preparing to meet Jesus. And how do you and I prepare to meet Jesus face to face? The Bible says we are to put off the old and to put on the new. And maybe we could say it's sort of like meeting the president, or a king, or a head of state. We put off our old clothes and we put on new clothes, acceptable to Jesus. The great Swedish Bible scholar Andres Nygren writes that according to the Apostle Paul, the entire Christian life can be described as a constant putting off and putting on. St. Paul writes that this all begins with baptism. In the Bible, Galatians 3:27, we read, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Baptism is not some mere ritual. Through the water of baptism and the power of God's living and efficacious word, our gracious Heavenly Father works in us the miracle of new life. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul speaks about this power of baptism in even greater detail when he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with Christ through baptism into death in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." St. Paul then continues, "For if we have become united with Christ in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, the Bible explains, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death Christ died, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so," St. Paul reminds us, "consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And so then, my friend, don't delay, but instead listen. Yes, listen not to men, but to God, as he speaks to you in his holy word when he says, "The hour is late for you to awaken from sleep. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Lay aside, therefore, the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ." And so finally, let me say this. Maybe you feel like the author of the book, The Master Trend, that we referred to earlier. The author said that America is falling apart and everybody agrees about that. And of course, simply by listening to the latest news, we probably could make quite a good case for this. And yet God is not calling us to sit around and to gossip and to criticize society. God is calling you and me to get our spiritual house in order. God desires that we prepare to meet his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns. And then as we wait with eagerness for our Savior, God graciously desires us to be busy with acts of love toward our family members and toward all those who live around us. Oh yes, the call of God is loud and it is clear. Wake up! Take off the old things of the world and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hesitate. God will never ask you to do things without also giving you the power to perform them. This is the moment, this is the hour, my friend, for you to arise from your indifference, make a clean break from the past, and then rejoice in the words of St. Paul when he says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, because death is no longer master over Christ. For the death that Christ died, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so," St. Paul then concludes, "consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.